Well, good evening, everybody. I just want to take this opportunity to welcome everybody to Grace Church this evening. So glad you are here. If you're a guest with us tonight, welcome. Glad you've chosen to be a part of the service tonight. We pray it's a blessing to you. And of course, those joining us on live stream and Facebook Live, so glad you're part of our service this evening. God bless you. God bless you. How many are having a good week so far? All right, a couple of you. Somebody said coming in that they just felt tired tonight. And of course, it's been, this time of the evening, it's been a long day, but also this time of the week, by Wednesday, you're kind of looking forward to Friday, let's be honest, right? But hey, we're here tonight. We're going to have a great time in the presence of God. And you've already had a great time fellowshipping with one another because I was watching you just a moment ago. So hey, it's good to be here tonight. And we're glad for all of you that are here. Just a couple of things I do want to remind you of. Don't forget that our 21 Days of Sacrifice goes through this Sunday. Thank you to everyone who has participated in this effort. We know that God is already blessing, he's already moving, and will continue to do so through our prayer and through our time of sacrifice. So God bless you on that. And then we're looking ahead, a little over a month ahead, but we want to get this out there. October 26th will be our annual Grace Chili Cook-Off 2024. And if you would like to participate in that, if you have an award-winning chili that you want to enter into the contest, contact the church office. Sister Sheila will get you all the details, but we're looking forward to it, and I'm already claiming that it's going to be wonderful weather. It's going to be just awesome weather on October the 26th. We're proclaiming that. Amen. Amen. Let me just share something with you briefly before we change the order of the service. We announced, it actually might have been the Wednesday night since we've been together last on Wednesday night, because of course we didn't have church last Wednesday night for the storm. It may have just been 2 weeks ago. Time slips away, but we announced that we gave a record $25,000 to move the mission this year. Amen. Amen. It is still worth celebrating. Absolutely. What a number. What a result. All of that was due this week in terms of getting final numbers and getting called into the section and to the district and then on up to headquarters and all that. I don't know. I don't have a number if they've announced yet nationally what it was. But as we began to get all of that ready and prepared for all of the to report and get it to the necessary people, a few other statistics kind of stood out from this year. Again, a record-breaking offering, the most we've ever done. And I just wanted to share these stats with you because they're just simply amazing. Talking about our students and the money they raise for Move the Mission. And, of course, our parents, grandparents, all of our adults, you are behind them so strongly. It couldn't be done without you, and I understand that. And we thank you for that, and that's one reason I wanted to share this tonight. But we're so proud of our students. In all, 33 students participated and raised money in some form or some amount, raised some amount of money for Move the Mission, 33 students. Now, they have what they call mission movers, and those are folks that raise at least a minimum of $250 for Move the Mission, and there's some perks that come with that. I think they get a T-shirt and maybe preferred seating at youth camp and some things like that. But those that raised $250 or more, mission movers, we had 21 students that were mission movers. That's pretty cool. And then we had 3 students that raised over $2,000 individually. That was Noah Whatley, Joseph Whatley, and Hadley Coley raised over $2,000 individually. And then Hadley Coley raised the most. She raised over $7,000 by herself for Move the Mission. Isn't that something? What a blessing. What a blessing. And, hey, look, I'm just repeating what I heard. Saturday night, our guest speaker, since we're live stream, I won't say her name, but you know who was with us this past weekend. She said we have the best youth group that she's seen. So I'm just throwing that out there. We agree wholeheartedly and concur totally. So we're proud of our students. God bless our students. We love them. Hey, let's pray before Pastor comes to the pulpit for Bible study and just ask that God would be with us tonight. If you have a need, would you just make it known by the lifting of your hand? God sees that. He knows that. And I believe he's here tonight to answer. Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for bringing us back safely, Lord. We missed last Wednesday night, Lord, but here we are. You took care of things, and you protected not only us, but the entire southeast portion of our state. And we thank you for that, Lord. We pray tonight would be no different than any other time that we gather, Lord, that you would just be among us. You would minister. Let your word wash over us and do a creative work and make new, Lord, in our lives those things that need to be repaired and refreshed. Lord, I pray for every hand that was raised, every need. I believe you're in the house to work tonight, and you often work through the ministering of the word of God. Let tonight be that night. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Clap your hands to Jesus as Pastor comes this evening.
Good evening, everybody. Great to see all of you here tonight. And thank you so very much for coming. And always appreciate having you here on Wednesday night for Bible study. And we had a, Sister Murph and I had a little incident on the way to church tonight, and I teach, taught it for the past several months that I don't know that the devil causes everything in our life to go wrong, but he sure takes advantage of things when it does. And tonight was one of those nights. We were a little bit late getting here. For some reason, my garage door didn't open all the way. It went about 3/4 of the way up, and when I looked in the mirror to back out, there was nothing there, so I backed out, and now my car is stuck in our garage because the garage door won't finish going up and it won't come down. I knocked the whole thing off the track and everything, and then got to church tonight and getting ready for Bible study and opened my iPad, and the battery was down to 5%, so I opened my computer, and the notes that I use had to be downloaded for some reason. I don't understand how these things work. And I fought with it for a while and recruited Chris, and about the time he got to my office, it downloaded. And then I went to print it, and the printer wouldn't work. And so here we are. Does anybody here feel my pain, or am I all by myself with this? I'm not complaining. I told, recruited Jonathan Adams. I heard somebody say something. I don't know what they said. It was pretty funny, whatever it was. I told Jonathan Adams, came back and fixed the printer, and I looked at the clock, and it was about 7:28 when my notes started printing. And one of the printers, the ink cartridges, is not functioning right, so some of that's messed up. So I told Jonathan Adams, something good must be coming down the pike tonight. It's the way I look at all that. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. I'm smiling, and that's the biggest hypocrite smile you've ever seen out of me right now. So I'm just saying. Thank the Lord. So glad all of you are here. Thank you for coming. Glad to see you. Thank God we survived the hurricane last Wednesday. So thankful for that. God is good, and appreciate the Lord so very much. Amen. What a great time we had here this past Sunday. The blessing of the Lord was just absolutely tremendous here Sunday. And so thankful for the ministry of the Word of God and people who are willing to minister it and touch our lives with it. We're so thankful for what God did here. And how about our attendance Sunday? 218 here Sunday. That's pretty amazing. Thank God for that. Amen. That's getting close to our pre-COVID attendance. So we're looking forward to just keep on growing, just keep on growing. Thank the Lord. Expecting a great time here this Sunday as well. I do know that this little series that I've been going through, the six seasons of temptation, has been interrupted several times. Of course, we had the hurricane last Wednesday night. We were out of town anyway. Brother Dave was scheduled to teach, and we didn't have church. And so we'll reschedule him to hear what he was going to say. And other things have been going on. So this has been a little more here and there than I like for it to be. I like to go week to week to week to week. But hopefully we'll do a little bit of review, and you can hopefully get back online with us very quickly. Been talking about, we've been in the past several months talking about spiritual warfare. I talked about prayer. I taught a series on prayer and how to hear from God, the condition we need to be in spiritually, mentally, what have you, to hear from God. Talked about that, and then talked about spiritual warfare, things along that line. And then I've been on this series talking about the six seasons of temptation that the child of God will go through. Everybody does. Everybody does. There's no exemptions from these things that we've been teaching. I just want to make you aware of it, that the devil is real, evil is real, and it's necessary that we be sensitive and cognizant to what's going on around us and why. I really appreciate our students being here consistently on Wednesday night. This is certainly applicable to them. C.S. Lewis said, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. It's the gentle slope, the soft underfoot, without sudden turnings and without milestones. The devil will oftentimes seek to destroy us with simple things, little things, over the big things. However, if you do have a big calamity happen in your life, doesn't make any difference what it is, good or bad. Blessing or curse, it doesn't matter. The devil will do his power, do his dead level best to inflict some level of temptation on you. He always does. He always does. So just to review quickly, we talked about the first season of temptation that the devil will come to us with, is that's immediately after conversion. When you convert initially the first time as a new convert, he will come after you at some point in time, and he comes hard and he comes vicious when he does. I've also noticed that he will also do the same if you've been somewhat lukewarm and you hear that sermon, whatever it may be that gets your attention, and you have that fresh pray through to the Holy Ghost, he's going to come after it. He always does. So it's the first season of temptation. The second season that I suppose we're all familiar with as well as the first is the pain of life. It's just when life doesn't go well, when there's hardship, there's physical sickness, there's domestic issues, marital problems, problems with the kids, problems on the job, problems with kids in school. You name it. It doesn't matter. Problems with the car. It doesn't matter. Whatever is wrong in our life that bothers us, the devil is going to use that as an opportunity to try to get into your head with something negative, and that somehow or another it's God's fault, or you're not real, you're a hypocrite, you're this, you're that, whatever it is. The devil is masterful in attacking the people of God with painful situations, both of mind and body. When we're hurting, temptation is never stronger than when we're at our weakest point. The devil will paint up sin as a certain way for us to escape through the very sin that will damn us. That is the sly and wily approach of the devil to a saint of God when he or she is down. When God called Paul to ministry, he said in Acts chapter 9, God said to him, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. It's just how the devil operates. You find any man or woman who has been greatly used of God, and I will show you a person who has had their share of suffering and attacks from the devil. And that is a true statement. I certainly want to throw up this caution for our students. Please listen to Pastor tonight. Those of you in P7, doing P7 Bible study at school, our quizzers, our JV team. You're trying to do something great for God. The devil is paying attention. I'm not trying to scare you. Just want to make you aware. And I thank God tonight that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I lean on that verse of scripture heavily. And everybody said amen. The third season of temptation that comes to the people of God is at the beginning of a great victory. You get that new job promotion. You've just gotten engaged. You're expecting your first baby. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Whatever great victory, God has delivered you from something. He's healed you from something. After a season of great victory, the devil is going to come after you. All of this is established by precedent set in the Bible. It's not just coming off the cuff tonight, but the Bible has set precedent for all of these things. So the third season is after some great victory. The more prominent that a person may be, leadership, influence, spiritual authority, the devil will do his best to fracture these people to the point of failure. That's just what he does. The devil never cares about you. He don't love you. He don't think anything of you but evil. He does the whole entire human race. He hates the human race because of their they have availability to forgiveness and restitution. They have the access to God and what have you that he no longer has. In case you didn't know, Calvary did not include the devil. He can't be saved. It's not possible for him to be saved. Let me talk to you tonight, and again, I will ask for the attention of our students, but this is for everybody, but if our students will listen as well. The fourth season of temptation that I want to talk to you about tonight is objects for the fall, things that we will see with our eyes, regardless of what it is. It doesn't. I keep stressing, it doesn't matter. What you think is trivial, what you think doesn't matter, what you think is, no, that's not going to affect me. You can't assume that. Your mentality is constantly changing. Your moods are constantly changing. Your level of emotional emotions is constantly changing. Either you're real happy or you're not, etc. So don't exclude anything. The devil will use anything. Don't ever say, well, the devil will never get to me with this. You don't know that, because you can't always predict where you're going to be every second, every hour of the day with your spirituality, with your emotions, your mentality, and so on. You say, well, what is objects for the fall? What does that mean? Let's go all the way back to the book of Genesis and talk about for just a moment the first two people that were on this planet. It's interesting to me. Think about this. How many of you have ever looked at a tree and was genuinely tempted to sin because of it? If you think of that in context of today, that's about the dumbest thing for somebody to come to God and say, well, I looked at a tree and I sinned and I failed God miserably because I was just so attracted to that tree and what it could do for me and all that. Today, that would sound silly. Y'all on board with me tonight? But to Eve, that tree had a mysteriousness about it, if you will. There was mystery about it because God said, everybody say, God said. God said, don't eat of that tree. It's called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For the day that you eat of it, you will understand things that you're not built to understand. You'll be exposed to things that I didn't create you to be exposed to. So don't do it. And I can't imagine that that was the only tree that he put in the garden. We all know this story. But I am quite sure, had you asked Adam and Eve after God created them and got them up and moving around and navigating the Garden of Eden and what have you, if somebody had come to them and said, well, what do y'all think about that tree? They said, man, we love God with all of our heart. We had a revival last Sunday night, and we prayed through the Holy Ghost real good, putting it in context of the way we talk. You couldn't pay me enough money to fool with that tree. Have you ever heard anybody say that before? Have you ever heard a spouse say about their spouse that I would never cheat on them, ever? I love them with all of my heart. I'd never do it. Y'all ever heard anybody say that and then turn around and do it? You could go on and on with the list of things that people have said, I'll never do. And they turn around at some point, it might be a year later, it might be 30 years later, and that's what they do. It's amazing. As long as that object is there, listen to Pastor tonight, as long as there's an object in front of you, whatever it is, that has anything remotely to do with you and your relationship with God, it is a target for the devil to use against you. Doesn't matter. Do we understand tonight that marital success in our culture, in our country right now is 50%? When I marry people, when they're coming down the aisle, I think they have a 50-50 chance of making it. It's where we're at in our culture. Because why? I believe because it's a God-ordained thing. God wanted a man and a woman to marry. I'll take it a step further. God wants a man to marry a woman. What is the devil doing? Y'all, I don't think y'all are hearing me right now. I don't know if my microphone's working or not. You cannot say that I'll never smoke, I'll never drink, I'll never curse. I've heard people say that. If it's something to do with your relationship with God, it has a target on it. We need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of that. When the devil tempted Eve and brought her to her fall, he used a tree. It's just really interesting to me. Why a tree? Because her relationship with that tree would determine the success of her relationship with God. It was something near that he took advantage of tempting her with. She was near the tree. Listen to Pastor. She was near the tree. Then she put her eyes on the tree. And then the dialogue with the devil began. It can be money. The tree in itself was not a sin. It bore fruit like every other fruit. And the fruit wasn't poisonous. Just like every other tree. I don't believe it glowed. I don't believe it had a halo over it. I don't believe it had some special whatever. It's just a tree. Just God said about that tree, don't eat of it. Go eat all the other trees. The fact is that what gets into our eyes will soon find its way into our hearts and mind. Preachers do it wanting big churches. I've heard this for years, with the evolvement, if you will, of the very large charismatic movement and these charismatic churches with 10, 15, 20,000. God bless them, I guess. But that don't mean I'm throwing out everything I believe to pastor a church that large. What I believe is more important to me than the size of our church. I'm all about church growth. You all know that. But I want to pastor a church that God can, that I feel like God can rapture. That's what I'm after. But men have lost their way because of an appetite, desire for a larger church. Preachers have lost their way over pretty women in their church that they think is prettier than their wife. It's real. I hope you all understand. Spouses, happily married. Happily married. And meet this person on the job, somewhere. And everything changes with one look of the eye. It goes from their eye to their mind. It's a season of temptation that the devil will try to use on everybody that he can. Our young girls, especially, the devil has a million things out there that will attract you, to tempt you to do, what you wear, the way you look, the way you conduct yourself, all of that. I've noticed here lately that you can go to Walmart, which I do very rarely, go to a restaurant, and a woman will walk by, and she just don't have a lot of clothes on. It's interesting to me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That will get into y'all's mind. And you'll say, I want to do that. Now, right now, you're close to God and say, I'll never do that. But wait 3 years and you're in college. And everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing it. We have to be careful, folks. When we get into a conversation of rationalizing and justifying our evil actions, it won't be long before we fall to the temptation. Well, it'll be okay. I can repent of it Sunday. I'll just do this and mom and dad will never know. I'll do this and my spouse will never know. Sooner or later, it will get a hold of you. It's happened to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. The wise man, Solomon, wrote in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, to keep your heart with all diligence. You be careful with what you do with your life, with your desires, with your wants, with your wishes. You keep it, you stay diligent with that. You never let your guard down. You never say, well, I'll just do this one time and I'll be the end of it. I've often wondered how many times people have pulled up pornography on the computer and say, I'll just do it one time, take a quick peek, and I'll turn it off. The next day, 3 days later, that desire is back even stronger. And after a while, if you're not careful, it'll get a hold of you. You've got to keep your heart. Take what you know. Take that relationship you have with God, with your family, and you guard it with everything you've got. Trust me, in the end, you won't regret it. He said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 23:19, he said, hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Paul said in Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Judas, a disciple, a man that was exposed to more miracles than you and I will probably ever see in our lifetime. He watched Jesus do things that people nowadays wouldn't even believe it. He heard teaching. He heard all of that. On top of that, he was of the tribe of Judah, which is, we all know that's a tribe of praise, but they're one of the most committed tribes in Israel throughout the Bible. When Israel split, the kingdom split, the southern kingdom was called Judah, even though it was made up of Judah, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. Judas was out of that. That was his lineage. That was his family tree. But money got a hold of him. You remember that beautiful moment where the woman came and washed the feet of Jesus with her perfume that was worth almost a year's wage back then? And he said, why wasn't this sold and given to the poor? He wasn't worried about the poor. You don't read any record in the Bible where Judas did anything in particular for poor people. He didn't give them money either out of his own pocket. He just had an issue with money, and it eventually got a hold of him. It's interesting that when he betrayed Jesus, the negotiating tool, the negotiating thing was money. Esau fell over a bowl of soup. That's interesting to me. I like soup. Sister Murph makes two or three pots of soup that is absolutely delicious. I've had other people that's made soup. It's absolutely delicious. But I never thought it was so amazing that I'm just going to give up everything I am and everything in my future to have a bowl of it. But that's what appealed to Esau. The devil used the thing in front of his eye. Demas fell with his love of the world. Achan fell because of his longing to have a wedge of gold and some silver and a garment from Jericho. Lost his life and his entire family because of it. I wonder if all of these people, if you could bring them up here tonight and say, well, how did that work out for you, if they'd tell you it was worth it? Folks, we have to keep our heart with all diligence. You can count on it. Life, the devil, will place things in your way that will be heady and intoxicating to you. He'll tell you to take it, use it, get it, all to the destruction of your spiritual health. It's what he does. It's a season of temptation, and we all go through it, and we all battle it. The fifth temptation, the fifth season of temptation, I want everybody to listen to this. It's after you have received a measure of grace from God. You did something really horrible. You've done something to your family that's really horrible. You've done something to your friends that's really horrible, and they forgive you. And that weight lifts off of you. You and your spouse have reconciled. You and your kids have made amends. Whatever it is, after a great season of grace, whether it be from God or people around you, the devil will seize that moment. Some writers have referred to this as the AI principle. It's after you've experienced a great demonstration of the love of God, the grace of God, the power of God in your life, the devil will come to attack with fierce temptation. More saints find themselves in a place of spiritual relaxation after these moments and times. It feels like you can breathe, and I can just take it easy. I can put life on cruise control for a little while. I don't have to worry about my marriage. I don't have to worry about my kids. I don't have to worry about my job. I'm just secure. We live in that false sense of security sometimes after there's been a great measure of grace that's come into our life, that's flowed into our life. William Gurnall said, if God smiles and opens himself a little familiar to us, then we are prone to grow high and wanton. If he frowns, then we sink as much in our faith. Thus the one like fair weather and warm gleams brings up weeds of corruption, and the other like sharp frost nips and even kills the flowers of grace. I want you to notice this. In Matthew chapter 16, Peter is proclaiming that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, had a great revelation. Jesus patted him on the back, that a boy, and all of that, and that's amazing. The next little while, Jesus was calling him a devil. It flips. It can flip in our lives just that quick. Look at Joseph in the book of Genesis. One moment he is flushed with pride of his father's love as he wears his coat, and the next moment he is sold off by his jealous brothers. You can look at the children of Israel collapsing the walls of Jericho, and then days later rattle in Ai by such a lesser opponent, believing, I just came through this horrible time, I can take on anything. It's the Ai principle. Conquering something huge and then losing to something so small. You look at Moses receiving the law of Moses, if you will, on the mountain, on Mount Sinai, in the thickness of God's glory, and the thunder and the lightning, and the mountain shook and all of that, and then shortly dashing it down to the ground and breaking it into pieces because of the idolatry going on at the foot of the mountain. The devil does these things. And again, I'm not wanting to skew anybody's point of view and to have you start looking for a devil in everything and everything that happens. I mean, if you drop a coffee cup on the floor and break it, it's not necessarily the devil's fault. You just dropped it. So don't do that kind of nonsense. But I will tell you, he'll get in your head about you doing it. See, if you wasn't so clumsy and stupid, you wouldn't have done that. And if my spouse finds out about this and my kid, don't go down that path. Just an accident, it happened. We're on board? Everybody say amen. But I do think we need to be aware. We need to be cautious. The Bible refers to the devil as our adversary. And we need to beware of his presence. Don't ever think in a moment of jubilant glory and victory in the Holy Ghost that the devil is going to leave you alone from now on. It's not the case. The sixth season that people will go through, season of temptation, is when they're getting close to death. This is a morbid topic, I know, but when a saint of God is down to his last moments of life, he may feel stricken in body by pain, and the loss of strength may discourage him. Then here comes the cowardly tempter to assail that person one last time. I've thought about so many people that I've known in my lifetime that did not die instantly. Shot in the back of the head or a horrible car accident that all happened before you even knew what was happening. I've thought about those people that linger and linger and linger, and I've heard their families, including mine, including me. Sister Murphy and I have talked about this 10,000 times in our marriage. You have that stalwart child of God, and they've been stricken with cancer or some disease, and it's little by little snuffing the life out of them, and it takes them a long time to pass on. And you sit around and question, well, why doesn't God heal them? Has anybody ever done that before? Why doesn't God take care of them? Why doesn't God, if God was had all this power, why doesn't he use it on them? Sister Murphy and I have had these conversations over and over and over. We know somebody right now. It would just be wonderful if God would come down and just heal this person. And he could just like that. He don't have to touch. He don't even have to speak. I believe God could think it and it would happen. And it's hard to accept the will of God. I've talked to Kelly numerous times about her mom. I've talked to Darren. I've had conversations with Ryan and Shelly about their mom. God could have healed her. She died at a reasonably young age. And just something happened, and just a few days later, she was gone. But where I question the most is how did she feel? What was her thoughts? Whether she said it or not, you don't know what a person's thinking. But here I am knocking on death's door. Brother Tenney said one time before he passed away, and I've never forgotten it, he said, I'm not afraid to die, but I'm terrified of the process. Why? Because you don't know. It's unknown. Just don't have a lot of people that comes back and tells you about it. So the devil uses these moments to attack a family. They'll attack your faith in God. He will do everything he can. I remember standing around the bed with my father-in-law, house right behind the church. Remember we prayed. All of his kids was there. We played music, we sang, we prayed. I remember one time just feeling this moment of bold faith as he was laying there in a coma. We didn't want to say goodbye. I know he was well up into his 80s, but that didn't mean we loved him less. And I got real bold and called for Sister Murphy's older brother. I said, let's come pray. Let's pray for your daddy. Of course, when I said that, everybody came in and we prayed. I'm telling you, we prayed. I mustered up I didn't have to muster up faith. I believe God could have healed him like that, but he chose not to. And accepting the will of God in cases like this, folks, is hard. It's hard. And it's so comforting to say, well, they've gone on to their reward. Well, what about us? Talked to somebody briefly about someone we know in common just this past weekend. The sweet lady lost her husband a year or so ago, I believe, and is struggling bad with loneliness. Loneliness is a powerful thing. Depression is a powerful thing when you lose your spouse. My heart bleeds for couples when they divorce. I mean, you've been married for a while, and now that person is still alive, but not at your house. And the devil uses these things. He's such a coward, and he will assail people that one last time to get that one last shot. It's like you can see the brightness of the heavenly city, but the challenge to persevere can be exhausting. I would tell my mother in the last days and weeks of her life, Mom, quit fighting you. Just go on and be with the Lord. We'll be okay. Your kids will be okay. Grandkids, everybody's going to be fine. You've got heaven waiting on you. Just go on. And then I'd cry all the way home feeling like a creep. And it's like the devil was in my ear that, well, you're an awesome son. And her pastor at the time telling her to go ahead and die. But there's a verse of Scripture that settles this to the child of God, found in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "For I'm now ready to be offered." He was martyred. He was ready to have his head removed from his body. "The time of my departure is at hand," he said. "I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing." I've stood at the bedside, the casket of people that I've loved, and my dad was one of them. But you know what? I've survived it. I've told you the story over and over and over with the passing of my dad at 16 years old. The devil did everything he could to take me out. He tried to take me out as a two-year-old baby, having seizures, and the doctor said I was going to die. My parents fought that battle. My pastor at the time fought that battle. But as a 16-year-old with a gun pressed against the side of my head, he tried to take me out again. God isn't fair. God doesn't love me. God could have changed all of this. God could have fixed that. Everybody here that's lost a loved one that you loved has no doubt had those feelings and those thoughts, whether you say them out loud or not. But to that precious person you've lost and said goodbye to, Sister Landry with her dad preached his funeral. And I still see him right over here at the church in Baker, right over here with his hands up one Sunday morning, tears streaming down his face, speaking in tongues. I always loved Brother Hicks, thought he was a sweetheart of a man. He was a kind man, and it was horrible to see him pass on. But I'm confident tonight that he's in the hands of God. All of that being said, we're all still here. We're all still here. We're still loving God, still worshiping God, but that doesn't stop the devil from trying. So I want all of us to understand tonight the six seasons of temptation. Nobody is exempted from these things you're seeing on the screen. Just be aware of it. Be aware of it. When that thing happens to you, whatever it is that you're seeing on the screen, just have in the back of your mind, I'm paying attention to what's going on around me. And I'm not going to judge God for something the devil is trying to fill my head up with. I'm going to stay in love with God. I'm going to stay committed. I'm going to believe what I believe with all of my heart. I'm going to do everything I can for the kingdom. My life is in the hands of God. And he's not going to let the devil do anything to me that God knows I can't bear. And we're going to make it. We're going to make it. I believe that with all of my heart. I'll remind you that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, the Bible said. The book of Isaiah said, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll raise up a standard or a flag against him. You're on God's property here. Be careful. You tread lightly. You're fooling with a child of God. I believe in God tonight, and I believe in his power to sustain us, to keep us, protect us, fight off lukewarmness, fight off carnality, fight off temptation, fight off sin, fight it off. Believe what you believe. Set your heart and mind towards God, the things of God, and God will keep you in the palm of his hand. Yes, he will. Thank the Lord. Everybody stand with me tonight. I'd like for us to pray for ourselves, to pray for one another tonight, to pray for Grace Church, to pray that God will keep us in the palm of his hand. Everybody said amen. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Jesus, we love you. We're thankful tonight for this wonderful time of intimacy with the Word of God, to become aware of what the enemy is trying to do to us as individuals, to the church. I pray, God, tonight for a blood covering over this church. I pray in the name of Jesus that every person that's here, that's a part of this church, you would hold them in the palm of your hand. Keep your arms around us. We depend on you every day. We depend on you. We cannot fight this fight by ourselves. And we ask tonight in Jesus' name that you would be with us. And everybody say amen. thank you all for being here. Our guest here tonight, thank you so much for being here. God bless you. You're dismissed in the beautiful name of Jesus.